Good morning. This is Pastor Hank. I want to welcome you to Central Christian Center. This is the day that the Lord has made, and we will rejoice and be glad in it. Honored first-time attenders and cherished members, we are so glad that you're here. Whatever you need, I believe God's already provided it for you, and it's our desire today to help you receive from Him. Let's just enjoy the presence of God and receive what God has for us today. Got a lot of stuff going on, and I could make a lot of announcements. I think most everything's in the bulletin. And so look in your bulletin. I needed to mention one thing, though. Our broadcast, in a couple of weeks, we've only got about one more week after this one, if everything I'm hearing is right, we'll just be on Sunday nights, okay? We won't be on Sunday mornings after starting, I think, September the 11th or September the 10th, okay? The TV station has been sold, and they want to put some of their programs on, and so anyway, we'll be on Sunday nights. I know that that's late for some. We really have more people watching it then than we do on Sunday morning. I don't stay up that late myself, but anyway, so you might remember to record it or something if you want to see it, and tell and help us spread the word, but that's the reason that's happening is because some new owners of the TV station, and they want to put the CBS stuff on in our time slot. So that'll work. And we're going to do some other things with TV. We're going to do some more spots, and we're going to have put some of our program on some of the late night time that's a lot cheaper, and try to reach some of these folks that aren't saved. You for that? Yes. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. I want to read you something out of Luke chapter 14. It's a parable of the Great Supper. Jesus told it, and I'll just read it all to you here. It says, "Now when one of those who sat down at the table with him heard these things, he said to him, 'Blessed is he who shall eat bread in the kingdom of God.' And then he said to him, 'A certain man gave a great supper and invited many, and sent his servant at supper time to say to those who were invited, "Come, for all things are now ready." But they all with one accord began to make excuses. The first said to him, "I have bought a piece of ground, and I must go and see it. And I ask that you have me excused." And others said, "Oh, I've bought 5 yoke of oxen, and I'm going to test them. And I ask that you excuse me." And then still another said, "I have married a wife, and therefore I can't come." So that the servant came and reported these things to his master. Then the master of the house, being angry, said to his servant, "Go out quickly into the streets and the lanes of the city, and bring in the poor and the maimed and the lame and the blind." And then the servant said, "Master, it's all done as you've commanded, and still there is room." Then the master said to the servant, "Go out into the highways and the hedges and compel them to come in, that my house may be filled. For I say to you that none of these men who were invited shall taste of my supper." That my house may be filled. Holy Spirit, help me today to say what you want to say, and help me separate that stuff in my mind right now. I remember when I was a little kid, and we lived in Galveston, which we want to remember all these folks down there now. They're having a hard time, and want to remember them and pray for them. And I'm sure we'll be doing something in the near future here to help them. I always, if you've been around a while, I always wait. I want to talk to somebody personally there that I know for sure they're putting stuff in the hands of people. But we're going to be helping them here in the near future. If you want to donate anything for that, then you can just mark it, let it be known. But anyway, we lived in Galveston, and we'd come up here in the summertime and stay with my grandparents. And I just loved coming up here because my grandparents had a farm out in Duquesne, and they had gardens, and boy, we just got to eat all this good stuff. But I remember my grandmother, she'd always be in there cooking all afternoon. She'd be in there cooking, and then I'd hear her say, "Dinner's ready. Come and get it. Come and get it." I guess that's the gist of what we want to say today, is that dinner's ready. Dinner's ready. You know, Jesus, when he told this story, it had implications to the children of Israel, and he was telling them because most of them did not receive him, and he was kind of using this illustration to let them know that, you know, hey, the ones that were invited didn't come, or the ones that I was sent here for, you didn't receive me. So now we're going to go out and get the others, in which I'm glad he did, because I'm one of the others. How about you? But even though that was a lesson for the children of Israel, how many know that everything Jesus said and every part of this word, if we want to, we can apply this to our lives. It's all important to us. And I just had that phrase in my mind. Dinner's ready. It's all ready. Come and get it. 2 Peter 1 says, "Grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord, as His divine power has given to us all things that pertain to life and godliness, through the knowledge of Him who called us by His glory and virtue, by which have been given to us exceeding great and precious promises, that through these we may be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption of this world through the lust." One translation says here, He has given us everything. I guess if we could get one truth in our mind, it would be to realize that Jesus has already done everything we need. Everything we need has already been given to us, been provided for us. I love Paul when he was talking to Timothy in 1 Timothy in the 6th chapter. He said, "Command those who are rich in this present age." I guess that means that some folks are supposed to be rich. Huh? It says, "Command those who are rich." Now, that would have been a good time for you to say, "Well, that's me he's talking about." Huh? See, you need to change your thinking. You need to start seeing yourself different. You need to start seeing yourself who you are in Christ Jesus, instead of like a stepchild and just somebody just sitting in the back of the bus all the time. You need to realize who you are, man. You're somebody. Huh? Jesus paid a price so you could be somebody. Huh? Every time I pull up in my driveway, Pam can tell you, every time I pull up my driveway, I look and I say, "Some rich folks live there." Huh? Well, you say, that's kind of, no, I'm just prophesying. Huh? I'm just telling it like it is. Huh? Anyway, I ask him to take me where I'm supposed to go, so. But he says, "Command those of you who are rich in this present age." Now here's the but, or the "not to be haughty, nor to trust in uncertain riches, but in the living God, who gives us richly all things to enjoy. Get that message? God doesn't want you to not have stuff, but He wants you to have stuff and worship Him because He gave it to you. Huh? But I love that because one translation says, who richly gives us everything to enjoy. Everything to enjoy. I mentioned my coming up here for the summers whenever we were kids, and you don't realize the impact of that statement that I made when I would hear grandmother say, "It's ready, come get it." You see, we always had some stuff to eat when we were growing up kids, but sometimes it was very limited in what we had. And you know, my mother, she worked, and the reason we would have to come up in the summertime most of the time is so she could save up money so we could go back there and she could send us through school that year. Nobody here has ever had a rough, have you? Huh? But so whenever we would come, see, the things that everybody takes for granted were big things to my sister and I. Because, I mean, we didn't have all the vegetables out of the garden. We didn't have all the cows that had been butchered and the chickens that had been butchered. And we didn't have all that stuff there. I mean, sometimes we had some beans and rice. I love beans and rice, you know. We didn't eat cornbread down there. We ate rice, okay? But I want you to understand, see, because when we came up, it was like stepping into wow, because there was all kinds of things to eat. You take that for granted unless you've been in a time when you didn't have anything to eat. But we came out of our, you know, and my grandparents weren't rich, but they sure seemed rich to me. And we came out of one setting into another setting, and you know, that's kind of the way it is with God. We all come out of the lost, come out of the hopeless, come out of the helpless. We all come out of the circumstances of life dominating us and ruining our lives and the crises. And we all come out of all that hardship and heartache, and we step into God's realm, and it's like, wow. I mean, that's the way it should be. So many times we're coming into God's realm and we're still trying to bring all that other stuff with us. See, I want to tell you how bad I had it when I was a kid. I want to tell you what the doctor said. I want to tell you how bad my diagnosis is. I want to tell you, because if I can tell you enough stuff here, then maybe I can get some kind of response out of you. But hold it. God says, why don't you respond in faith? Why don't you step into this thing? Step into this thing and realize, wow, look what God's done. Lorraine and I were talking a while ago, and she said something about it's a good day. I said, they're all good. Some are better, but they're all good. I'm believing today is one of your better ones. How about that? I just want us to begin to, we can limit ourselves with our thinking, or we can step into what God has for us. In Ephesians, chapter 2, verse 10, he says, we read part of this in the communion, but it says, that in the ages to come He might show the exceeding riches of His grace in His kindness towards us. See, you understand, you got a Heavenly Father that loves you. He's been waiting for all these years to have somebody that He could show His kindness to. He's been waiting to have somebody that He could be Abba Father to. been waiting to have somebody that would see what he had offered them and would take advantage of that and then would be grateful to him because of it. Verse 10 says that we were his workmanship, that he created us in Christ. He created us so that we could walk in all the good works that he prepared beforehand. You ought to circle that verse. And you ought to go home. You ought to keep reading it until you get a revelation of it. Because that's how we grow. That's how we receive. It's through our knowledge of him. As our knowledge of him grows, as our knowledge of his goodness grows, we're able to step into that. Our faith is strengthened. Our faith is stronger. You understand faith? Faith isn't something that we pull off the shelf to make God do something. No, faith is my relationship with him. Faith is as I walk with him and this relationship grows. And I realize his love and his affection for me. And as this thing grows and gets bigger, and I just love him more and more and more. And it isn't that I love him, it's that he first loved me. And my faith, as this grows in me, my faith trust him more. My faith doesn't let the circumstances get me down. My faith causes me to look towards him instead of towards the natural. It doesn't make me ignore the natural. I want you to understand before we go on here. And I kept you late last week, so I'm not going to keep you late this week, okay? Well, just 3 minutes, but that was late. I want you to understand. I had a friend once that had a shop. This was a huge shop. This had every kind of machine, every kind of tool you could imagine in there. Man, he had wood tools, lathes, all kinds. He had metal lathes. He had a mill machine. He had all this stuff. All this. And what was neat? You walked in there and you just went, wow. And this guy could make anything you needed. I mean, if you needed furniture, he could make it for you. If you needed a part for something, he could make it. If you could go in there, even if a part wasn't invented, even if one didn't exist, if you could go in there and you could tell him what you needed and what you were needing it to do, he could think on it a while, and he could find the right tools, and he could find the right piece, and he could do the right drilling, and he could do the right thing, and he would come up with that part. Pretty neat. Now, when I'd go in there, I'd look at all the machines and all the tools, and I go, wow. But I didn't know how to run none of them or do none of them, so I just could go, wow. Huh? I mean, I got a philosophy. I told Greg a few years back when he bought the tree business, I said, man, don't ever buy nothing you have to work with. But this is what I want you to, the picture I want you to get. We stepped into this kingdom of God. Everything's in this shop, folks. Everything's in this shop. If what you need doesn't exist yet, you can make it anyway. Just figure out what it is you need, what it is you want, what it is you're trying to do with it. Do you understand? God's not going to answer prayers that he's already answered. Oh, Lord, I'm praying that you heal me. Hank, haven't you looked in the Bible? Haven't you studied the Word? By my stripes, you were already healed. Well, now I don't know how to make this part, but I have to figure it out. So I go, Holy Spirit, help me figure this out. You see, if I was to walk in this guy's shop and I wanted to do something, I didn't know how to do it, he'd show me. Matter of fact, one time I bought a brand new truck back in the 70s, and I bought it without air because I had to get one I could afford to buy, and so I didn't have air on it. And so the first thing I realized was I'd made a mistake and I needed air, so I went out to the salvage yard, and I got some add-on air from Larry Meadows, and he gave me all the parts and everything, and Earl Jeunesse was our bus mechanic then. And so I went out to the bus barn, and I said, Earl, I need you to help me, man. Just, I need to put this air on the car. I was expecting Earl to say, okay, well, Hank, I'll put it on. Come back tomorrow and I'll have it all on for you. But you know what Earl said? He said, well, take off your coat. Roll up your sleeves. I won't put it on for you, but I'll tell you how. Can you see me in the middle of this motor? He says, undo that bolt right there. I'd do it, and he'd say, okay, now put this in there, do this, and he'd go on, do it, he'd come back. No, do it this way, and I'd do it that way, and follow me. After a few days, I was amazed because I had put air on this brand new truck. Now I wouldn't know how to tell you how to do it now, but man, And I told everybody, hey, I put the air on this thing, man. Feel how cold it is. But he told me everything to do. Now, you see, I walk in this big shop of faith, and I don't always know everything to do, but I have been given to live inside of me the very Spirit of God, and he says, I will lead you and guide you into all truth. What do you need, Hank? Well, I need this part, and I don't exactly know how to describe it, but I need this and this. He said, well, I know what you're talking about. Now, this is what you do. Oh, Lord, I want more income. I just want to get to the end of the month and have some money left. How many's ever been where you had more month than you had money? Huh? How many know it's better to have money left at the end of the month than it is to have month left at the end of the money? Am I talking to the right people? Lord, I need some, you know, and like Steve Jones says, I can lay on the couch and eat potato chips, but you know, probably I'm going to limit what comes to me. There might be some come once in a while, but God, I need more income. He says, okay, well now let me show you what to do. See, we're talking and we're praying like, Lord, send me some down. He says, Hank, it's not up here. It's already down there. All the silver and gold and diamonds and all of it's down there, Hank. Oh. Well, would you show me how to get it? Now, if it happens to be that area, the first thing he always tells me is, well, sow. If you sow, it'll grow. Huh? Now, that's not the message today, but if you sow, it'll grow. Huh? I mean, that's just the way it is. But the picture I'm wanting us to get is when we go before God, are we asking him to do something that he already did? See, I'm not saying we understand it. I'm not saying we know how to operate all the tools and all the machines in the shop. But I'm saying all the keys are in here. All the answers are in here. All the answers are in here. And when I began then to have a confidence, I don't know what in the world I'm going to do. I don't know how this is. I don't know, God, but I know you know. You know, every day I have to say, Lord, I really don't know what to do with this predicament here. I don't really don't know what to do with this situation here, but you do, so you just show me. Cause me to step the right places, cause me to do the right things, cause me to say the right things. God, you know. This is even down to a thing where I can't find something. I go, God, I don't know where that is, but you know exactly where it is, and if you show me, I'd appreciate it. And he does. Understand what I'm saying? The concept is, Lord, give me. He says, I already gave you. See, it's a whole lot different. In the old covenant, we did, and then we got. In the new covenant, he says, I already did. Now let me show you and teach you how to got. I already did it. Now, see this faith and this life with God isn't a run to the altar, get saved so I can go to heaven. This is an entrance into a kingdom, the kingdom of God. It's an entrance into a relationship. It's an entrance into a place with God that he's always desired. It's a place with God like he made and put Adam in. Adam never had to say, Father, would you send me this? He said, it's all here. The Holy Spirit's here to lead you, to lead me, and to guide us, and to show us. Now, that's what faith is. And as my relationship with him grows, I trust him more. My confidence in him is more. I mean, you know, when I first got saved, you might come to me if you were real smart and you were real had a big degree and had knew a lot of big words, and you might come to me and get me to doubt whether God was really real or not. I mean, probably not, but you might have been able to. You had a chance to. You know, but I mean, after 40-some years, I'm sorry, you're just barking at the moon. Why? Well, because my knowledge of him has grown. Because my relationship with him has grown. Huh? Because the longer I walk with him and talk with him and fellowship with him, the more I trust him. See, and my faithfulness now, My faith now isn't in what I do. Because, you know, I don't know about you, but I've just figured out if I do 10 things today, you know, 8 of them's probably going to be borderline. Huh? I mean, not some of you. Some of you are perfect, and everything you do will just be perfect, you know. Well, in a sense, that's true, because God's not here looking, counting your mistakes. He's just here looking, counting your faith. He doesn't care how many times you fall down. He just wants you to get back up one more time. Because if you get back up, he's got a chance to help you. If you just keep going, if you just don't quit, hey, you're going to come out on top. He's going to see to it. I just want you to understand, the table is ready. Dinner's ready. Come get it. What are you waiting on to be out of debt? What are you waiting on? Are you waiting to win the lottery? Are you waiting to you know, for somebody to die and leave you something? Somebody already died and he left you all the promises of Abraham. Only he didn't stay dead. He rose from the dead to come back and be our mediator and our lawyer and our priest so that he could make sure he's at the right hand of the Father, making sure anytime I agree with this word of God, anytime that I agree with it, he says, Dad, did you hear that? Let it be. Let it be. And he's not a priest that's not touched with the feelings of our infirmities. No, he's been through everything like we have and even more. All this scripture lines up if you can just get it rolling the right way here. Hank, I want you to enjoy it. I've given you everything. Everything you need to live in this life. And I've given you everything you need to live for me. All the tools. Here we are in this big shop. Are you getting the picture? In this big shop, it's all here. Help me figure this out, God. Help me learn. Help me show me, lead me, guide me. See, have you got that? I don't need to tell that all again, right? Your enthusiasm overwhelms me today. You're just getting so excited, I don't know how I'm going to stand it up here. But if I came to you and I said, hey, I opened up an account in your name. The money in it is unlimited. Anytime you need some, just go get it. It's unlimited. And so here a few days you got a need and you came to me and you said, Hank, you know that account you told me? I've really got this in this jam here. Would you get you know 2,000 out for me? And I'd go, well, yeah, okay. And I'd do it and give it to you. And then a little bit later you'd have another need and you'd say, Hank, I really need to withdraw some from that account. Would you, you know, for a little while here, I'd probably go, yeah, here, I'll help you do that. I'll help you do that. But, you know, after a while, I'd say, well, you know what? It's your account. You go take care of it. You go get it out. That's kind of like spiritual growth, by the way. Well, I don't know how to get it out. See, some of you have been tithing and giving. You've been laying up those treasures in heaven. And you're waiting to get to heaven till you make a withdrawal. Well, I don't know how. I know. None of us do. Holy Spirit, help me. Show me. Teach me. See, you learn by engaging. Okay, I don't know how to get it out of that account. I need to know the number. I need to know if I can just go down. I need to know, you know, what account it's in. I need to know all this stuff. Hey, you know, I don't know exactly how to use to make my faith work every time. God knows that. And when you get it all figured out, there will be some more happen that you don't have figured out. Why? Because He wants to keep showing you and keep helping you. Well, now, maybe you're sitting here and that's not registering yet, but it'll register this week when you start praying. And every time you start praying, and then that little voice will come inside there and go, yeah, but I already did that. You go, yep, that's right, Lord. Now, show me how. You know, I'm having to go back and ask the Holy Spirit to show me what things mean that I used to think I knew what they meant. Huh? Somebody said the other day, said, how you doing? I said, well, I said, I'm doing okay. I said, I'm trying to learn what I used to think I knew. Huh? Because I got it all figured out and then it got all screwed up. Huh? Hey, I mean, it just got all messed up. Because I forgot to focus on the one that was helping me get it straightened out. I just want you to know that it's available. Huh? And you know, you're not going to need that when you get to heaven. Huh? You're not going to need any healing. You're not going to need any money. You're not going to need any of that stuff then. When you need it is right now. He said, I've given you everything that pertains to life and to godliness. Well, okay. Dinner's ready. Come get it. But there was something else that he said in this little story that I just kind of wanted to hit. And since Lori preached it already, I won't have to say a whole lot about it. But he said, dinner's ready. Go tell them to come. Dinner's ready. Go tell them to come. Now, if we have so great a salvation, why are we keeping it secret? Huh? I mean, you know, we've talked about the finances and the things that we need that pertain to life and God wants us to have that. But you know, why one of the reasons God wants to bless your life and wants to do things big in your life is so when people that don't know Him look at you and they'll want in on the deal. But you know, and I don't mean this disrespectful because it's none of you guys. But you know, I look at some Christians and I almost just want to go to the bar and get drunk. Not really. That wasn't an excuse. Well, I mean, you know, you go into a bar, everybody's smiling and having fun. You go into church and everybody's frowned and mean and mad and... Huh? See, and it's not just coming in here, but it's when they see you out there on the job and the boss has been doing the same thing to you that he's been doing to them, and instead of letting it phase you that way, instead of you acting like them, you're just smiling anyway. Why? Well, because the joy of the Lord's your strength, not your boss, not any circumstances. What God's doing inside of you is your happiness and your joy. Can I tell you something? Joy is an inside job. Talking to somebody the other day, they said, I just don't have any joy. I said, well, I'm sorry, that's not my fault. It's not the church's fault. It's not your boss's fault. Joy is an inside job. Man, you can be joyful in the middle of a crisis. You can be joyful in the middle of circumstances. You can be joyful and have peace in the middle of what turmoil, and it looks like there's just no way and no hope. Why? Because you know who your God is. Hey, He's not going to fail me. Huh? He is not. Let me say that again. Can y'all hear me in the back? He's not going to fail me. Now, He might not do everything exactly like I want Him to do it or like I think He should, but He's not going to fail me. If we neglect so great a salvation, man, we just... He said, go tell them. So my house will be full. Go tell them so my house will be full. And isn't the Holy Spirit neat? Isn't the Holy Spirit neat? I don't have to cover a lot of that because Lori already covered it in the song service. Isn't the Lord neat? Isn't the Holy Spirit good? Isn't He good? But go tell them so that my house will be full. Not sit here and pray, oh Lord, send the people in. Go tell them. Go tell them about Jesus. He said, go into all the world and tell them about me. Tell them the good news. What's the good news? Well, I spent 30 minutes here telling you what the good news was. Dinner's ready. Huh? Go tell them. God put a picture in my mind years ago when I hadn't been saved very long, and it was somebody that was slipping into hell, and they looked at me and they said, "Why didn't you tell me?" How many know that'll kind of stick with you for a lifetime?
Why didn't you tell me?
You know, the church, we're church overall, we're just willing, we're just ready to do anything. We just are believing God for all kinds of things. But you know, the thing that's left the church is the go. Huh? Go tell them about me. Go tell them about me. Say, well, Hank, I don't know how to witness. Well, that's okay. You can learn how to witness, but in the time being, you're already doing something if you're part of this church. You're already, if you're given, you're already doing something. How many people we had saved this month? Faster. 47? 47? So if, you know, part of them's in the jails Saturday nights, part of them in here, part of them, you know, hey, but, so you're already part of it, but that doesn't excuse us from going. I just want us to think a little bit because if we say, well, I just believe the Holy Spirit drawing people. Yes, He's drawing them. And that's what I told you a few weeks ago. God told me, He said, hey, He said, it's time for the seats to start filling up. He said, I have hundreds of people ready to come. They just need somebody to invite them. And if you'll tell the people, they'll listen and they'll do it. So this is the third week in a row that I've said that. I'll probably say it next week too. Well, why? Well, because I need to hear myself say it. Huh? Because there were some folks this week that I talked to and I got away from and I don't. You didn't even invite them to church. You didn't even tell them about Jesus. Well, they see you on TV. They know you know, but they know that you know about Jesus. They know all about you. No, don't take that for granted. See, we're supposed to tell them. What did Paul say? He said, whosoever will call on the name of the Lord will be saved. How many is glad for that? Huh? But then he goes on in the 10th chapter there, he said, but how will they call unless they believe? Well, that's true. I believe in you, Jesus, so I call on you to say. But he says, okay then, but how will they believe unless somebody tells them? And he said, well, how will anybody tell them unless they're sent? Well, if there's a preacher in there, how will they have, unless they have somebody to tell them, and then how will they tell them unless they have been sent? And then he said, oh, how beautiful are the feet of those who take the gospel of peace, the good news. That's for all of us, folks. That's for all of us. He says, go tell them all so that my house will be full. You know, we're talking about a marriage here. You know, the Bible talks about another marriage. Because, you know, we can focus on all kinds of things, but you know what? If we're not focused on eternity, we're missing the whole point. If we're not focused on what this is all about, this isn't about so that I have lots of stuff here. He says, I'll give you lots of stuff here, but Hank, when you leave, you're going to leave it all here. You're not going to take any of it with you. So if I'm not focused on eternal life, if I'm not focused on what's coming up here real soon, let me just read you about another supper. It's in Revelation 19. It says, then a voice came from the throne saying, praise our God, all you servants and those who fear Him, both small and great. And I heard as it were a voice of the great multitude, as the sound of many waters and the sound of mighty thundering, saying, Alleluia, for the Lord God omnipotent reigns. Let us be glad and rejoice and give Him glory, for the marriage of the Lamb has come, and His wife has made herself ready. And to her it was granted to be arrayed in fine linen, clean and bright, for the fine linen is the righteous acts of the saints. Then he said to me, write this. Blessed are those who are called to the marriage supper of the Lamb. Man, I am excited about life. But you know what? I'm excited about this event that's coming up. Huh? And so as I'm doing all this, as I'm in this shed, as I'm learning all this in this shop, as I'm learning all this stuff about faith, as I'm learning all this, what's my final destination? My final destination is I'm gonna be with Him forever. You know, Paul also said, Jesus said, that isn't where I wanted to be. Paul said in 2 Corinthians, he said, for we must, at the same time this marriage supper, he said, for we all must appear before the judgment seat of Christ, so that each may receive what is due for that he has what he has done in the body, whether it's good or evil. I love Revelations 22. Do you read Revelations and get scared? You shouldn't. You shouldn't. Huh? You should just be excited. Do you understand it all? No. And even the ones that think they've got it all figured out, they're not all right either. But you know what? God's already got that all figured out. All I got to do is get close to Him. But in Revelations 22, He says, behold, this is Jesus talking, I am coming quickly, and my rewards is with me. To give to every man according to what he has done. In Luke 6, Jesus said, be glad in that day and leap for joy, and behold, because your reward is great in heaven. You see, there's coming a time when we're at this marriage supper of the Lamb, and all the things that we've done, we're going to get rewards for those things. I mean, why do you do all this stuff? Well, I'm doing this stuff because I want to serve God. I want to do good. And Paul talking to Timothy there, he said, do those that are rich among you, and he goes on, he says, do good works. Do good things. Do good. I was reading the other day. I'm trying to figure out how to quit this here right here. I was reading the other day and in Revelations, and it was talking about the time there's 24 elders and nobody can open this book, and Jesus walks in and he's able to open the book, and they throw their crowns down at his feet and they begin to praise him and throw their crowns at his feet. I always had this vision that all the things that I can do good, all the crowns that I could get, there's going to be some time here at this marriage supper of the Lamb when he gives us all these rewards, and I'm able to go and throw them at Jesus' feet and say, no, it's all because of you. That's the only way. The only reason I was able to do it is all because of you. Now, I just said this because we sometimes live this life like this is all there is to it. Huh? This is just the beginning. We just stepped into the shop. Huh? We just stepped into this kingdom, man. This thing goes on and on and on for eternity. Now, you can sit and let the devil beat you down and tell you about all the things that you're doing wrong, and, oh, I know I need to have more fruit. How many need to have more fruit in your life? You need to have more good works in your life. Well, just do them. Oh, I know I should be doing more. Well, just do it. Don't spend time thinking about all the stuff you didn't do right and all the stuff you should have done and you didn't do. I mean, man, Paul said, lay all that weight aside and run. He didn't say run and carry all that weight with you. Yeah, I didn't do too good today, God, but boy, tomorrow with your help, Holy Spirit, we're going to kill a bear. Huh? He can't keep you down if you get this new grace mentality. You put on this new man. So what I ought to do, I just wish I did more. Well, then do more. Are you waiting for somebody to see you do it, or somebody to tell you to do it, or just won't you just do it? I got a philosophy. I just got a thing that I go by. If you keep doing good long enough, it'll come back to you. Huh? And there's something else that I always tell myself. If I can remember all the good things I did yesterday, then I didn't do enough. Huh? I love it when somebody comes up to me and says, "Oh man, I just want to thank you for what you did. You just don't know what it meant." You know, and I'm going, "What are they talking about?" Huh? I mean, somebody came up to me the other day and said, "Oh, I just want to thank you when you gave me that money." And you know, and I'm thinking, I don't remember giving them any money. Well, why? Well, because I just give a lot of it away. I'm not tooting my horn. But I'm saying, you know, just do good. Man, just that thought you got to call them and encourage them wasn't just your idea. It was the Holy Spirit trying to get you to do something good. That fixing them a cake or a pie or a meal or something and taking it over to them, it wasn't just you little goody two shoes. Quit patting yourself on the back. That was the Holy Spirit trying to lead us and guide us. Hey, this thing's supposed to just get better and better and better and better and better and better and better. We were talking here about somebody who was getting ready to go to the Lord any day now and go be with the Lord any day now. And here it looks bad, but it's just going to get better and better and better and better. Well, dinner's ready. Won't you find somebody this week and tell them about it? Won't you find somebody this week and invite them to come to church? Matter of fact, won't you find some folks that aren't saved this week and invite them to come, and next week I'll tell them how to be saved. That work? Better yet, get them saved and come, and when I give the invitation next Sunday, you come down the altar with them. Boy, that'll make me feel good. I'll go, wow, I don't know what I preached, but man, that must have been good. Folks, we've been given so great a salvation. You know what the beauty of all of it is? It ends up, he says, "So my house will be full." What's good about it all is your daddy loves you so much, he just wants to do good things for you. He loves you so much that he just wants to be kind to you. He wants to show you how to get out of that situation. He wants to show you how to get that healing. He wants to show you how to change those circumstances. "I don't know how, Lord. I need a part, and I don't know if anyone's ever been invented yet." That's okay. I'll show you how to make one. See, there's nothing too hard for God if we can trust Him. Is everybody here saved? Everybody bow your head and shut your eyes. I'm done. How many here are saved and you know it? If you die right now, you're going to go to this marriage supper we were talking about. Nobody's looking. How many? Put your hand down. Who in here doesn't know for sure? You don't know for sure. Raise your hand. Okay, I see that. Who else? I see that. Who else? Hey, listen, it's not hard. He said, "Whoever will call on the name of the Lord, whoever will put their faith in what Jesus did, and will confess Him with their mouth, they'll be saved." And there's about three in here that I know of that didn't know for sure. So right now, I'm just going to say a little prayer. And I want you to say it out loud. And just so it'll be easy for you to say it, we're going to all say it with you. And nobody will know if you're saying it for the first time or if you're saying it with everybody else. But if you don't know you're right with God right now, say this prayer and mean it. And something will happen inside of you. Huh? Because He'll come. He'll never turn down a heartfelt request. So everybody in here say, Father. Everybody in here say, Father. Everybody in here say, Father. I want to be saved. Jesus, I ask you to come into my heart right now. I don't understand all this. I'm confused. But I trust you. Come into my heart and help me. I give you my life. I ask you to do something with it. Thank you for saving me. Everybody stand. If you prayed that prayer, I'm going to go ahead and end the service, but if you prayed that prayer, I'm going to ask that you just come on down here and let us pray with you. We want to give you some information, help you get on your way with the Lord. Or maybe you didn't pray it and you want to. I'm going to ask that you come to. Matter of fact, if there's any question in your mind at all, you come down here and let one of us talk with you and pray with you. Because I want you to walk out of here today knowing that you're right with the Lord. Now, those of us that are saved, everybody say, dinner's ready. Dinner's ready. Say, Holy Spirit, teach me what I just heard. Now, don't even raise your hand, but I'm just going to ask you, how many of you will go out now and tell somebody dinner's ready and invite them to come to church? If you'll get some folks here next week that aren't saved, we'll get them saved before service is over. How about that? If you get enough of them here, we'll just skip the first part and get right to getting them saved. How about that? Hey, I love you. Thank you for being here today. Thank you for putting up with me. But I'm telling you what, you got a God that loves you. He loves you. And as I dismiss, if you need to come down, if you prayed that prayer, you want to pray it, come down. Doug's here, Steve's here, Greg's here, Charles is here. We'll pray with you. If you're here and you've saved and you've never been baptized and would like to be, we got somebody that'll baptize you. If you need to just be prayed with and agree with you on something, we'd be happy to do that too. Hey, listen, I speak God's blessings into you. I believe Him to touch your life. I believe Him to touch you so dramatically that your life will never be the same again. And when He does it, you just know it's all because He loves you. So I speak goodness and bigness and bountifulness into your life this day and this week. Hey, I love you. If you need to come, come on down.